Hello everyone, this is Annabelle. In this new series, Meditation and Experiencing the Observer Within Us, I share with you my experience with meditation and subsequently staying with the observer within me over a sustained period of time. If you haven't yet listened to series number 8, How to Find the Observer Within Us, you might get lost here. Before you experience the observer, I would advise to know what it is and how to find it within yourself. Then you can always come back to this series later. Basically, in series number 8, I share what happened when I found the observer within me. I experienced my thought and storytelling in my mind on one side and reality that I could observe on the other side, almost like if I split in two. What surprised me the most is that reality is far nicer than what was going on in my mind. Prior to finding the observer within me, I meditated. At least I thought I did. But the reality was that I got lost in my mind, identifying with all my thoughts and personal stories. And that might be the main reason why I never been consistent with my meditation practice before, because I felt so tired. I was just paying more attention to what was going on in my mind, and the meditation I do today is quite the opposite. Now that I am aware of the observer within me, I can observe what is happening inward. It doesn't matter what is happening as long as I fully stay present to it. I'm no longer caught up in my thought as my attention is on the observer instead. My understanding is that there are two ways of finding the answer about who we are. Either we fully focus our attention on our experience, and having a thought is an experience, or we fully focus our attention on the observer instead of the thought. What we focus on, we become. And based on the type of thought I had, I have chosen the second option, as you can imagine. So here is what I found. My meditation practice before I found the observer was very different. The term meditation is fashionable. We use it when we need to relax or have a quiet time. That is what first attracted me toward meditation. I started a decade ago, but I don't recall it was for a spiritual purpose. At that time, I thought meditation was about sitting in a lotus position in a quiet place, and that alone would help me to quiet down. Quickly, I realized that sitting down, doing nothing, wasn't going to work for me. I could easily spend 30 minutes lost in my thoughts or imaginary world, and that didn't provide the rest I imagined I would get. Then I tried guided meditation, some short mantras, counting and breathing techniques to focus my attention away from the thoughts. The thoughts are not the main issue, but actually what bothered me were the feelings that quickly followed them. That was overwhelming and tiring. For example, I used the counting technique, so you count to 100. And most of the time, I couldn't tell where I got lost in track, so I had to start over again and again. This exercise made me realize how much noisy my mind was. Same with mantras. It can have a relaxing effect thanks to the repetition, but it's just replacing my thoughts with something else. So that didn't provide me with the peace that I feel when my mind is entirely empty. Nevertheless, those meditation techniques are very good practice to quiet our mind. I suffered my monkey mind, as Buddhists call it. It helps us to quiet down and access the presence within. Otherwise, it is almost covered up by the internal noise. Now, I understand that those steps prepared me to meditation. As at the time I didn't know what I was supposed to look for, I got lost in my thought, believing that was me, and giving them way too much importance. So the second thing I found is what a meditation practice looks like when you know the observer within. My meditation practice changed after I became aware of the observer within me, especially after practicing for a certain period of time. The purpose here is to show you my experience evolved over time, and once I knew meditation was about staying in the now, by a position to be carrying out by my internal stories, it all became clear. But I still had to keep at it long enough to make a difference between what I'm not, called the neti-neti process, or referring to all the experiences that are impermanent, and what I am, the present itself, that stays and changes through all meditation and even outside of my meditation practice now. So here a bit of an idea of the stage that I went through. First, I could barely notice the presence within me as I was experiencing so much noise. At the beginning, that was not easy. My experience of the observer was quite weak. I could barely feel its presence. And the main reason is that I ignored it for so long. It was almost like if it disappeared. I often refer it as being in the background, and what was at the front was all the noise, all the thoughts and stories that tended to cover up the presence. Of course, it is impossible to lose the presence within us as it is us, but you can become unaware of its existence, and when that happens, we identify it with something else, something we can identified with, like a body and mind. And that's the core of all our problem and unhappiness. I use the technique I share with you in series number 8 to strengthen the awareness of my own observer. Before entering into meditation, I would ask the question, who within me knows with certainty I exist? And wherever we find the answer, that's the presence. The presence within us who is aware of the answer of our existence is the presence itself. That helped me to locate, if I may say, the presence within me when its presence was weak. After some time, I dropped that question because it was no longer necessary. When I sat down, I felt overwhelmed with stress, anxiety, thoughts, many reasons why I should get up, and sometimes I did, sometimes I was strong enough to ignore that. I became aware of my thoughts and emotion and the heaviness and pressure in my body, mostly in the chest or the belly area. In all honesty, that might be why people drop out quickly if they are unprepared. It's almost like if I open a Pandora box and all I could find inside was dirt. There is nothing to do. Just stay with whatever we find. Whatever it is not permanent. It is just an experience with a beginning and an end. Some can be really unpleasant, but nothing lasts forever. When the experience draws our attention, we need to move it back to our presence or the observer within us again and again. Of course, we keep thinking, feeling, and sensing whatever there is, but by staying present, we avoid being caught up in the story and identification part. We just observe it with a distance. If we keep at it long enough, the noise starts to quiet down. And because we pay sufficient attention to our thoughts, emotion, and sensation, they tend to dissolve and it feels good. The second stage is by drawing away my attention from the noise, it quieted down. And I experience peace and calm through the presence. I'm not saying that experiencing my thoughts, feelings, and sensations stopped for good. But it became easier. And it moved in the background when the presence moved in the front. So there's kind of a shift here. Robert Spira says our experience belongs to duality. So I personally experience peace by opposition to the noise and craziness of my thought and mind. If, for example, you are a very peaceful person already, you might have a very different experience. But the intrinsic quality of the present is to be, to exist. It's not peace. Peace is my experience of it. I would describe the third stage as when my body started to dissolve. Of course, my body didn't disappear. I'm describing my experience, what I felt. I could see my body when I opened my eyes because I tend to meditate with closed eyes, but I couldn't feel it, the frame, the limitation of the body. I couldn't feel it anymore. I experienced an infinite space with no limitation. For example, a tingling in my arm was felt in the entire space, with the knowledge that it was located in my arm. The conscious presence is also where knowledge occurs. Where we know we exist, we know we have a tingling arm. The presence is knowing, is the knower and what is known, all at the same time. And we slow down through meditation long enough, we tend to experience that. It is probably hard to comprehend without trying for yourself, so I would advise not to take my words for granted, but just give it a try. Unfortunately, this cannot be informative. The objective is just to comfort you in the existence of a wider version of you. If that's something that resonates with you, then you can validate by yourself. In that space, I couldn't validate the usual identification like, I am a woman in my 30s, at least I was at the time. This space cannot be limited in time. There was no beginning and no end of it. No confirmation of a gender, no race, or whatever we usually identify with. At that stage, I could no longer have a certainty about who I was. That's why we call it the neti-neti process. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this, I'm not that. I was no longer aware of a mind with thoughts. As it dried out, it became empty. And I was no longer aware of a body. So I could no longer identify as a body mind. All I was aware of was an infinite space with no limitation, filled with what I personally describe as potential creativity. First, that space appeared empty, but after further meditation, I became aware of the substance that filled that space. I remember I struggled with the characteristic of the presence because it perfectly matched God's characteristic. It's infinite, all potential, all knowing, yes, you see where I'm heading. But nonetheless, I couldn't reconcile it with me. The main reason was layers upon layers of patterns and contradictory belief I had to deal with first. The discussion is definitely for another time. What it is important to keep in mind is that I had to do some extra work to be able to experience the last stage. So the fourth stage of my experience with meditation in the presence was that I felt love and contentment. Again, I'm talking about my experience. Not sure it will or has to be experienced like this by others. I'm not keen on using the word happiness. So that's why I use the word contentment. The word is too associated with an experience and not what we are. We believe we have to do something or get something or someone to be happy. At least I thought I had to do that to be happy. My experience is the contrary. In my meditation, I felt content. By that, I mean, I felt content with what I was, what I had and with the way things were. Now, I'm sharing my experience and the vocabulary I have chosen to express it. It's up to you to find the words that are most relevant for your own experience. And if you want to use the term happiness, by all means, do it. Finally, what also evolved during years of meditation is my identification to the observer. At the very beginning, I experienced the presence as a separate entity because I could feel the body and mind, and I could feel the presence. But over time, I became that presence and I merged with it, and it created a shift. I'm not saying I never again identified with my body and mind, but at least when I was in meditation, I was like the being only. When we are being, the experience is wonderful. And practicing meditation is no longer something we need to do, but it is something we are looking forward to do. As much wonderful it feels, meditation occurs over a short period of time in our days. My next work was to stretch the meditation stage to the rest of my day. I mean, when you're not sitting into a meditation. Staying present is not something we do once in a while. It is something we are. So I practice being present all day long. That's an interesting experience too, as it's still going on today, but I will share it with you another time, I promise. Now, please understand this is just my experience. I am an inwarder like you, and I only can share what I have experienced so far. My understanding is that the reality of what we are is nothing, meaning the absence of everything, including the presence itself. At least that's what I have been able to grasp from fully realized being. All I can say is that feedback have been consistent across my readings and the people I met. But let's not worry about it too much now. Now, let's speak about the usual question about meditation. I have been asked, what about the duration? How long should I meditate? Every day? Where? What time of the day? What position? Etc. etc. Those are valid questions. And one of my friends with three kids asked me, how can I meditate if I cannot find a quiet place to be alone? So here is my answer. For a very long time, I felt frustrated as I feared I could not awaken because I lived in the modern world and I had to attend so many things. It was hard to find a quiet place to sit, but in the end, my best advice is to start where you are. It is unlikely we will move to the top of a Himalayan mountain the day we decide to go inward. If you cannot find a quiet place to sit down, just practice while doing the house chores or in the middle of a busy office. Wherever you are, the presence within you comes along because it's you. My best advice is to forget about silence or even sitting in a lotus position. If that's not something you can do, it doesn't matter as much as staying with the presence within. That's what is important. Not so much what your meditation looks like from the outside. If our beliefs or what we need to do in order to heal, grow, and awaken are not supporting us, we have to let them go. Wherever we are, whatever we do, that's where we need to be, and that's what we need to be doing. We can heal, grow, and awaken regardless of our circumstance, as it is inward. So don't worry too much. If meditation resonates with you, just give it a try anyway. And over time, you will experience who you are too, in whatever form that might be. No mistake is possible with being who we are. This series comes to an end. I hope you have enjoyed all 12 series of the Inwarders podcast. Mikan and I had a wonderful time creating them for you. We will have a summer break or a winter break for those of you in the Southern Hemisphere. And the podcast will resume on the 10th of September. Make sure you subscribe from your favorite app or provider so you can keep listening when we are back. In the meantime, summer is perfect to catch up on series you might have missed or give a chance to meditation. The pace of our modern world is too fast. We all need a break to be with our loved one and the observer within. I hope this last series will inspire you to value the presence within. Thank you for listening and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.